knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're got the dudes. Like, sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are. Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot today is actually, I'm a little bit delayed on this, so I'd like to apologize. I'm being sort of behind the times,
okay,
what have you. But it came to my attention that someone had made some animations of some of the clips of our show. So
sure.
I wanted to give a shout out to that that person.
Yeah.
Kudos to YouTube. The very, very funny. Very, very, it's very sweet.
Yes.
You know, and they really nailed the gray spot in my beard. It's just,
it is kind of remarkable. It is kind of strange, especially because I remember almost the day we started talking about that gray spot in your beard, like 6 years ago.
Yeah. It really captured it, and the way that you kick your legs up whenever you're laughing.
Yeah, 100%.
It's just fully in there.
The energy is correct.
Yeah, and then also someone made Brendan and Coach McGurk.
Yeah.
So thank you so much to Kevin for that.
Yeah, that,
was
that one's
such
ridiculous.
A delight. It's interesting to see yourself in animation or to see these sort of jokes that you've made in a visual form.
It's weird. It's weird.
But it's nice, and I appreciate it, so thank you.
I remember it reminded me of there was a Comedy Central show that would animate some stand-up bits, and I still remember. No. One that would go specifically just to like do animated bits. Because I remember the Ducks Eat for Free at Subway bit by Mitch Hedberg, mm-hmm, was turned into a really just perfect animation of what you would think of Mitch Hedberg buying bread for
Is
a
it
duck. Would
comic
look like.
Remix?
It might have been. It might have been something like that.
Huh.
But yeah, there were all of those animated clips, and I remember thinking how much fun it was and how, like, what a fun, nice little silly thing. And then I don't know. It's weird.
It was also definitely part of Dr. Katz.
Oh, no, for sure. For sure. There was definitely that on Katz, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt. But,
So what's your bright spot?
My bright spot, I'm gonna double down on the Olympics. It was great, you know. Mm-hmm. I was thinking because the women's national team won soccer,
nice,
gold,
1-0,
fantastic game, 57th minute, Mallory Swanson, and then Alyssa Nair, the goalie,
did
her saves. This were just out of this world,
unsung heroes. Those goalies.
I mean, not in this Olympics, and it's a lot like
also
in
the Mighty Ducks.
It's a lot like
Goldberg
got a lot of attention. Goldberg nailed it, but then I don't know. Much like in the Olympics, a woman goalie was much better. No, that was great. And then Steph Curry and the men's national basketball team, they won gold on the same day.
Nice.
Steph Curry threw four straight threes in from increasingly more ridiculous positions.
That's 12.
Until the last one, he was double teamed.
Mm.
I don't know if you, there's this amazing picture, right? Steph Curry, double teamed by two very large men, mm-hmm, right? Open, wide open. Kevin Durant, all-time leading Olympic scorer, greatest shooter, greatest scorer, period, all time. Wide open. LeBron James, greatest basketball player ever to live. Two guys wide the fuck open. Who shoots the ball? Steph Curry underneath two very large men, almost like from behind, and everybody's like, fuck yeah, and he's gonna make it. Mm-hmm. And he did, and the whole place went nuts.
Awesome. I have two important questions to ask you.
Sure.
The first, in basketball, do they say from downtown?
They sure still? Do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yep.
I'm glad that hasn't gone out of style.
There's downtown, there's behind the arc.
The high rent district?
No, that one has not been said for a long time.
Well, see, that's one also, I guess maybe high rent district is maybe like more like when someone goes to the top rope in wrestling.
he has no business being up there.
That would make way more sense.
Second question.
Sure.
When the women's soccer team, football team, sure, wins the gold,
yeah,
does anyone slide on their knees?
Do you mean like, well, it was a different style.
Across the
grass. No, not like Brandi Chastain, of course. The most famous of all slides.
That, to me, is
an
image.
But usually that's like after a goal.
That's an important image of winning a soccer game.
Oh, yeah.
I think across the board.
The slide and the, but that's usually after you score a goal, not after you win the game. You know, that's the goal scoring celebration where you kick it, everybody, you run to the corner, do the whole thing, and everybody jumps on top of you.
Zinedine Zidane headbutts someone and then slides.
Everybody's
on
like,
his
yeah! Yeah. Yeah, that's the way you do it.
Terry Henry.
Yeah, this was a great Olympics, and it was like, it was so very obvious after I said it. I was like, man, this is the best Olympics in a long time. Then I thought for 2 seconds, I was like, yeah, because there wasn't a fucking pandemic, idiot. Of course it was a good Olympics.
It's been a little while since there's been a full-on Olympic.
Yeah.
I feel like I missed out a little bit, but I could have joined in.
I could have watched some. It really was great.
Yeah.
It just truly is. It was such a great example of the, like, none of these people are really sure about where they come from. But when they come together and they're just competing with each other, like they're friends, they've got it. The where you're from is an excuse to meet other people who are good at stuff and compete.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And that is kind of a wonderful thing about the world being as connected as it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I'm glad you got to enjoy that.
It was awesome.
So, Jordan, today we have something you will not enjoy as much.
That sounds right.
Why would you?
Yeah.
Shit sucks.
Mm.
We got another dumb episode of Alex's.
Fair enough.
I keep saying episodes are dumb, and I just feel like we're in a bad rut. I feel like we're in a bad place for Alex.
Sure.
Because we're in this place where, in the real world, there's gaining enthusiasm for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. There's... the Democratic side is rejuvenated, and people kind of feel like, all right, we'll vote for this.
Yeah.
On the Trump side, it's just shitty disaster. No one likes J.D. Vance. Everyone's making excuses for all this garbage.
Yeah.
Someone tried to shoot Trump, and no one cares.
Yeah.
It's just weird. And then the other day, Rogan came out and was kind of like, you know, I really like RFK Jr.
Yeah.
And it just feels like there's a time limit here to leave Trump. And I feel like Alex should be on the clock. He should realize that this is not the way to go.
It is always fun. It is always fun to find out who believes in what they're saying and who is a loser. Because I always appreciate it whenever people have the courage to be like, I'm getting off the train, and then 12 hours later be like, never mind, I'll shut the fuck up. I changed my mind.
In the case of Joe, I would say that he didn't say, I'm getting off the train or
whatever. Sure.
You know, he didn't double back as hard as like 180 degrees.
Sure.
But these people who are these right-wing media scam folks.
Yep.
They do need to recognize that the expiration date is kind of come.
But they can't, because the image is they are telling people how they feel, right? But the reality is they're doing what they're told by an audience of people who are hungry to be lied to. You know?
But I think that audience may be coming to a point where they want to be told something else.
Sure, but then they'll find different people. They don't need you. They don't want Alex to be a different person. If they want a different person, they'll get a different fucking person. There's plenty of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like it's time for Alex to start pretending that he never stopped Rand Pauling and Ron Pauling.
Yeah.
You know, it's time.
No, it would be a smart move for him, for his everything.
Yeah.
For everything. I just don't think these people can do it.
We've had two straight election cycles where he's been all in for Trump.
Oh, God.
And it's played out very differently both times.
Yeah.
And this third time, I think it's a mistake. I think if he wants to stay relevant, I'm not saying go with RFK, because that's a disaster too.
Yeah.
But I do
like a good three strikes, you're out, in a very literal way. And this is about as literal as it gets.
I
They've
guess.
Tried for the third straight time. here we go.
Yeah. So anyway, I just feel like we're in that place.
Yeah.
We're in that place where Alex needs to do something else. And I think it would be really interesting if he could find it within himself to... But you can't abstain from the election. You can't turn now because it's the devil.
It is the devil.
Right? I mean, like,
you'd have
just,
to.
He's committed.
In order to change, you'd have to admit you were wrong. Otherwise, you can't change. Like, that's the fundament of where we are all across the board, across all political ideologies or whatever it is. In order to change your mind, you'd have to first go, the thing that I thought before is not correct.
Or
that is not a thing.
Or you have to pretend so hard.
Yeah, you have to work real hard. Yeah.
I think that's possible.
And it'd be very polite if everybody just ignored it and were like, yes, of course, you didn't think that before. Mm-hmm. We're fine with that.
And I mean, you see indications of, like... you know, folks like Nick Fuentes who are being like, well, I've had enough. I'm fucked Trump.
Sure,
you
sure.
Know, like these are not like super shocking turns of events.
Mm.
They're to be expected. And that's the vanguard of where this ideology is going
to
go.
Yeah, I mean, the obvious thing to do would be for those people like Alex and Joe and all of them to get together and be like, they got rid of their old white guy. Now we demand it.
I think the cult of personality being so based around Trump had its upside, and now we're seeing like what could be its downside.
That is
there
the trouble.
Really isn't anyone to replace to fill in that spot. There's
JD
no
Vance
other demagogue
going up to the top stairs.
Vance sucks. Got really no viable. I mean, what are you gonna do? But Barron in there?
Come on. Let's see if Rubio's got it in him.
Don't feel like the white nationalist base is going to galvanize around Rubio, Romney.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Come on, man. I've still got money out. Give me Nikki Haley.
That bet's still outstanding?
No, it is no longer. They took it off.
Uh-huh.
But if she comes back, man, I feel like they have to. I've got a lawsuit at least.
Yeah. You can at least do the hashtag Jordan was right.
If she comes back, I think I do deserve money for that.
I think she ruined her chances at the RNC.
Yeah,
by,
me too.
Supporting her. So, look, we have an episode to go over,
yeah.
And we're going to be talking about the 8th, August 8th. That's Thursday's episode. Alex had Laura Logan host on Friday.
Oh, my gosh.
So this was his weekend send-off.
Sure.
And we'll get down to business on this, but before we do, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, this is a great idea.
So first, the Beaver family, parenthetically, our dog did JFK. No, we will not explain further. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Does not say the dog killed JFK.
Nope.
And we have no explanation.
And we do know a lot about JFK that involves multiple meanings of the word did.
Mm. Thank you to Andrew Breitbart's unremarkable left testicle. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Our first live show.
I swear sometimes whenever I don't remember a reference to our own show, I feel insane.
Mm. Do you not remember that?
I did afterwards, but there was a brief moment where I was looking at it going like, what have I done with...
I get it, and I still think, what have we done? Next, Dominic Mitchell. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And hey, Bill, sorry about all the strokes and seizures. Not sorry about giving some of our money to these guys. Love your broken wife, Christina. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got to take the credit of the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much to Knowledge Fight. Completed it, mate. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
So we start off here on the 8th with Alex talking about walls. We're going to figure out this walls line of attack one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Tim Walls is done.
Is he?
He'll never get away with this. They are now uncovering news article interviews and multiple TV interviews. And speeches he gave where he claimed, in the technical nomenclature he used, that he is a combat veteran. But instead, he betrayed those under his command and did just a terrible thing. Veterans understand all the complexities of this, and that's why they're so outraged, because he stole valor in a very technical, specific way. Tim Walz's stolen Valor fiasco is quickly becoming a disqualifying spectacle.
It's becoming pretty clear that this is the direction that we're going to go. This is the attack that Alex is going to stick with.
Gotcha.
So far on his show, Alex has shown a clip of Walz saying that people in the United States shouldn't be carrying weapons of war, and the only place those should be carried were like when he carried them in war. This was at a speech at what appears to be like a town hall meeting, and Walz has already clarified that he misspoke in this setting and he didn't mean to cause any offense. This is just a replaying of an attack that was used against him in his last governor's race back in 2022. His opponent, Scott Jensen, employed all of the mudslinging tactics here against Walz's service, and it just didn't work. It's not really a super effective angle of attack because the facts are pretty compelling on Walz's side, and it's really easy to explain things that are a little bit iffy, like that aforementioned misspeaking. He was enlisted with the National Guard for 24 years, where he could have retired at 20 if he wanted, but he stayed in despite enduring hearing loss from the artillery that he worked with. So, you know, he can't really besmirch the tenure of his career and all that. The other main attack about his service is that he retired just before his unit was set to deploy for Iraq, but there are strong indications that the deployment wasn't the catalyst of his retirement. Walz has said that he was planning on retiring in order to run for office, at least in part due to his opposition to the war in Iraq, which he couldn't really oppose publicly while he was enlisted. This makes total sense, and Alex should actually be in support of all that, which is why he needs to create this fake version of Walz's story to sell to the audience, because otherwise you'd be like, oh, wait, that's what I would encourage someone to do in that position. Retire so they can be critical of the war that I believe is unjust.
That's very interesting. This is an interesting line of attack. I find this fascinating, mm-hmm. not least of which because are we not the bad guys now in Iraq?
To Alex.
But we've been, you know?
I don't know.
Because to me, the idea of somebody being like, hey, I'm not going to go murder people for money. That makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more on that team.
He was in the National Guard.
Right.
And when they were going, he did not deploy. Well, he did deploy in the war in Afghanistan, but
sure.
It was to Italy and to like guard bases and stuff.
Sure.
But look, I think that any time you have somebody who's lying about what they did.
Sure.
It's distasteful.
Sure.
Whether or not the thing that they're lying about was the, you know, perfect ethical thing to do, whether it's right or wrong to have been in the war.
Sure.
Even leaving that aside, lying about it is kind of like, well, you're lying about this in a way that's disrespectful to other people's deaths and shit. So
sure.
I understand that.
Right.
But Alex should be in favor of all of the concrete actions here.
Yeah.
You were enlisted. You can't criticize the war. You want to criticize the war, so you retire in order to try and effect change. That's the narrative that Alex should be on board with.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think this is going to stick very well, basically.
Probably not.
I don't feel like the angle of attack is good here.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny. It is funny because it's very obvious that the problem here is that people who want to vote for the Democrats like Tim Walz, right? And this is an unusual circumstance for people who want to vote for Democrats, because that's never happened before.
Mm.
It'll be interesting to see what happens.
And I also think that there's some people who would want to vote slightly to the right but fucking hate Trump.
Sure.
Who probably would like to vote for him too.
No, we're in a great Obama position where it's like, listen, the worst possible thing has happened in the past year, so why not try a new thing? Mm. Who fucking cares at this point?
Well, here's what you don't understand.
Geithner's right around the corner.
Not Geithner.
Everybody who's excited, I promise you, Geithner's right around the corner.
It is not.
I guarantee you 1,000,000% Geithner's right around the corner.
It is not him. It is somebody
Geithner
else.
Geithner is going to fuck you.
No, it's a much better songwriter.
Okay.
We've analyzed how Harris is finally getting some pretty big crowds, 10, 20,000 people. In Atlanta, Dearborn, Michigan, places like that. Atlanta, Georgia, Dearborn, Michigan. We have it right here. They're telling people that there's going to be some big music stars there, and they'll announce one or two big ones, but say that there'll be a surprise one. Then they have their surrogates, kind of a Democrat version of Q, claim, oh, the word is it's Taylor Swift. And we've caught them doing that. And notice she's just canceled her tour. Now the new blue QAnon thing is Taylor Swift will be her new running mate when Walz drops out. I mean, this is a train wreck.
Okay, this is just stupid, but whatever. I'm sure there are some kind of lunatic accounts on social media pushing theories that Taylor Swift is going to swing in to be the vice president, but that kind of thing is probably something you should ignore if you're the tip of the spear. Also, if that's what the blue side of QAnon is up to, the other one was about, like, demons and blood drinking and
wait.
This is a little bit different.
The conspiracy theory is Taylor Swift is going to be VP?
That's what Alex is saying, that the blue Anon conspiracy theory is.
That is low stakes. That is low stakes. For a billionaire to be like, I'm going to swoop in and be a VP? That's dumb.
Yeah.
That's dumb.
It's a little TMZ-ish.
Yeah.
I think what Alex is complaining about is buzz. The Harris campaign has access to relevant acts. So, for instance, in Wisconsin, they had Bon Iver, and in Atlanta, Megan Thee Stallion sang. Trump would totally do the same thing if he could, but most relevant bands don't like him.
Mm.
He doesn't have Kid Rock performing at the RNC because Kid Rock is a meaningfully cool musician in 2024. It's because Kid Rock is the best of the available options. Like, Ted Nugent would be there, too, but Kid Rock's slightly better.
Ugh.
Slightly cooler than Ted Nugent.
Man.
Understood in its proper context, this is Alex complaining that the celebrities they have kind of suck and aren't as cool as celebrities who like Harris. It probably does suck for him to know that Taylor Swift showing up at a Harris rally is not an unimaginable thing to happen, and she's a giant star. Like, what would Trump have to counter that? Like, maybe get Ye to come out and complain about Jewish people for a little bit. Like, that's which is ironic because he interrupted Taylor Swift at the,
yeah.
at the Music Awards.
Yeah, you know, during the like 40s and 50s, all right, you're straight-laced, we don't like to have fun people. They had the classy, cool celebrities at the time. You know, they had people who were like really attractive, closeted, and were willing to say that they hated the commies. They don't have that. They don't even have classy people anymore.
They got Kid Rock.
They just got trash.
They got Kid Rock.
Ugh.
They got Dana White. They got Nugent.
Oof. Brutal.
Roseanne. Well, Roseanne, I think, is that maybe she's on the JFK tip or RFK tip.
I have suddenly started to think about RFK Jr. a lot more seriously, and I've realized something. If there was ever going to be a childhood that could lead to somebody like RFK, he had it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that you can compare a life like his to, period.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he should be fucking nuts.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I think he should be very far away from the presidency. But
agreed. But also, he should be nuts.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's reasonable.
In a way that should make a good TV show.
Absolutely. Like, yeah. I'm not going to judge him. No. His childhood was beyond... I could never even relate to
having
it.
One relative assassinated is enough to really send you in a weird direction.
Crazy.
Two?
Nuts. Dad, uncle, both possible presidents, but one president.
Yeah.
Like, crazy. Absolute lunacy.
Then you got a worm in your brain.
And then everybody's had a conspiracy theory about everything about you for your entire life.
Camelot.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're the son of your uncle is dead. Like, it's all nuts.
Yeah.
It's all nuts.
Chappaquiddick.
No, there's no... Ted Kennedy was your living relative.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Kennedy was the one you were like, well, thank God he's alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no bar for sanity.
No, if he was okay, I would think we should all be terrified about the rest of our behavior. Because if you could be okay after that, we have no excuse. None of us have excuses.
I mean, he's done a lot of damage to people through like the anti-vax shit
and
all that.
Absolutely.
But considering the circumstances as a human, he's shockingly like... fine.
Yeah. No, it's wild. It is wild. To grade on a curve with RFK requires a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Biden gave an interview,
mm-hmm.
and he said that they were going to stop Trump from being elected.
Good.
Biden has come out and repeated what Raskin and others are saying, that there will not be a peaceful transference of power if Trump is reelected. They're going to have civil unrest, civil war conditions. I played that clip of Raskin the last 3 days over and over again. Biden goes on national TV, says the same thing yesterday. Does that get your attention yet, folks, of what we're facing? We've then got all the dirty tricks Kamala Harris is pulling to get big crowds out for her finally by claiming there's going to be these big music acts there. And then as soon as the music act's done, everybody leaves. Totally pathetic. We've got all the evidence of that. Walls is done in any real universe.
This just feels fully disconnected from reality in a way that's whinier than Alex usually is. There's usually a bravado and toughness in the way he skews reality, but this just seems kind of weak. Like, the Biden clip is taken out of context. The clip of Raskin he's talking about is saying something else entirely, and it's from February. Tim Walz is polling very well and is not done by any stretch of the word. His recent polling numbers show a net favorability of plus 11 compared to J.D. Vance at a negative 9. And it's not a dirty trick to have famous people at your rallies. Trump does it all the time. It's just most of the people he can pull are very past their prime, like a Kevin Sorbo or Scott Baio or something.
Oh, man.
Typically, Alex kind of gives off the vibe of a kid railing about how school doesn't tell you the whole story. And while that can be annoying at times, and this kid doesn't know the whole story either, it's at least an interesting character. It's kind of compelling.
Mm-hmm.
In an instance like this, Alex reads more like a kid pointing at a party he wasn't invited to, trying to explain to why it's not fun to go to parties, and you don't want to be invited in the first place. It's just not, I don't know. It's not a fun character.
Yeah, the thing that happened that ruined everybody is that Trump won, because they all thought Trump was going to lose in 2016, and they were having a great time with it.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, fine, we're going to have Hillary as a monster president, but that's going to be great for us. We're going to be able to bitch about her forever.
Yeah.
Even, I mean, we're still in it. They're still doing it. And she wasn't the president, you know? But we could be where we were in 16. They could be stoked. They could be like, thank God Trump is going to lose, so we'll have somebody who we can hate in the White House. You know, it'll be great. But they actually think that he should win, which is like, no, go back to 16. You knew he shouldn't win. You knew it.
Yeah, the problem is expanding what is possible past what is good for you.
Yep, yep.
Like, all of this shit works so well when it's Ron Paul, perennial loser.
You shouldn't win.
Yeah.
You're in a more successful place when you lose.
Yeah.
It's Taoist.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right.
It's deep.
Yep.
So, Alex rambles a bit more about Tim Walz, and it's just, I don't know. He's done.
It's one thing if you're enlisted, people look down on it. There's one thing, if you draft dodge, people look down on it. But if you are an officer for 20 years and finally get called up to run artillery in Afghanistan and you cut and run, that right there is a total disqualifier. You want that guy as the vice president?
Yeah.
You want Trump who gets shot and pops right back up and says, fight, fight, fight. I mean, these two clowns are incredible. And another video is resurfaced of two veterans confront Walz staff over false allegations of service claim. Told them Stolen Valor Act violations could lead to jail time. So this is all just pouring out right now. So we're going to show the clip we showed yesterday of him giving a speech lying about a combat veteran. The new video that just came out last night of him on C-SPAN saying it. And then him being confronted years ago over it. And then confronted again today. I mean, I smell blood. Fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell the blood of pedo scum. Be he live or be he dead, I'll grind his bones to make my bread. I smell victory. I smell defeat of our enemies.
Do ya?
But that only makes them more dangerous now they're so cornered. But I do see victory in most paths forward. Some will be very costly, some not costly at all. I don't really see any path to victory for our enemies long term. We have turned the tide. Doesn't mean there's some utopia we're offering and, you know, a free lunch and all that crap, but humanity's really tough to kill.
Mixed messages here.
I have no idea what he was trying to say.
I think he was just trying to be triumphant and all that shit, but then he realized that, like, we also have to be scared.
Right.
And so Jesus. Can't be too triumphant.
So difficult.
Got to inject that scared stuff, or else why would anybody listen to this dumb shit?
It is very difficult, yeah.
But yeah, we've turned the tide. Humanity is hard to kill.
What? This is another problem with where they got stuck. They just wrote themselves into a corner, because once Kamala took over, like, you've got the opportunity to be like, hey, guess what? now we got a real fight on our hands, so we can step up our game even more. They should be crazy right now.
You think they wrote themselves into the corner? The same people who are up against the devil?
Yes!
No shit.
But that's the problem. If you're up against the devil, you can fucking go anywhere. They've written themselves into a corner thinking that Trump can win, well, or they should win, no, or whatever
no,
it is.
No, they've written themselves into a corner because they don't believe this shit.
Well, there's
they don't believe that it's the devil,
no.
But they've gone full devil.
Once you believe it's, or once you go full devil, fuck it. You've crossed the event horizon.
Right, but you know? Don't actually believe that, so you're not going to behave as if it's the actual devil. And that's the problem. That's the corner
right.
That's been written into.
You're right. I'm just a different person, because when I see a challenge like this, where it says break with reality or retreat, mm-hmm. I just feel like if you're Alex, break with reality. Remember the Alamo.
Yeah.
Why would you ever retreat?
Yeah. No, I agree. But this is a little bit retreaty.
Yeah, it is.
So Alex plays that clip of Biden accidentally revealing that he's going to stop Trump from getting into office.
Accidentally.
Yeah.
But let's begin with this. If Joe Biden with his fried brain said this, and he was the only one saying it, and it wasn't Mudd of the CIA and Pelosi of Congress and Raskin of Congress and, I mean, just hundreds of these clips, professors, movies, TV shows, fiction, nonfiction, Civil War.
What?
If he just said this alone, I'd be like, it's just fried brain. It's not. He gets in these meetings and he's getting senile. He can't keep what the real plan is versus the fake plan he puts out the public. So they ask the question, will there be a peaceful transfer of power? Well, not if Trump wins. If he loses. So this is a big, big deal. Joe Biden tells CBS News he's not confident at all that there will be a peaceful transfer of power if Donald Trump loses. But what he really said was wins. So see the media spinning it for him at every level, carrying his water. Here's what he really said.
Are you confident that there will be a peaceful transfer of power in January 2025?
If Trump wins, no, I'm not confident at all. I mean, if Trump loses, I'm not confident at all. He means what he says. We don't take him seriously. He means it. All the stuff about if we lose, there'll be a bloodbath.
See, this is the magic thing about having, your villain be, this crazy person who doesn't even know how to talk and
so
all this.
So much easier.
You can just, whenever you want something to actually be his point, you can really overemphasize a misspeaking like this.
Yeah.
You know, it would be his fried brain in other circumstances, but this time it's deadly serious.
Yeah.
It's just arbitrary. You can just pick whatever you want. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I do appreciate that nobody's quite all of the enthusiasm is coming from people who really were miserable about the idea of defending Joe Biden after every one of these fucking clips.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the enthusiasm is coming from.
That's where a lot of relief comes from.
You're not going to attack people with clips of Biden and have them go oh no, they're all going to be like, yeah, well, fuck that guy.
But even if
everybody wants him gone.
But even if you're not, you're going to see that clip and be like, oh yeah, you misspoke. The way
who
he
cares?
Does, he has 100 fucking
yeah,
times.
Who cares?
This
He's
was
a
the,
million
this was
years
the
old.
Whole thing.
He's a million years old.
Right.
We all had our hands tied behind our back and we got him and now we got rid of him. We don't care.
Yeah. This is not a secret revelation of some sort of nefarious plot. It's,
we all knew he was plumping.
He was plumping.
We all knew he was plumping.
He was bumping.
We were all telling you.
10 bags.
Yep.
So, you remember on our last episode, someone called in and challenged Alex's masculinity?
Yes, I do.
This is still bothering him.
Uh-oh.
So, when you're conscious, you just see their moves. When you're not, you're like, oh, well, there's going to be a hack attack. Don't worry, the votes, it has integrity, but the system that makes sure it has integrity, it's going to be shut down. Ah. And then when that happens, oh, the FBI is so smart. Man, they predicted exactly what happened. How do they know they're so smart? I think we're stupid, folks. We're just dialed in and dialed up. You see it all. And the proof is all the predictions we make basically come true. Almost all of them. Except the ones we make that stop them.
Oh.
That's the real goal here.
That's magic.
Not sit back and say, see, I told you so. To warn you what's coming and we get awake and we say no and we're watching and we're taking action legally and lawfully and we stop them. But the caller called in yesterday. He goes, you always see legal and lawful. You're a wimp. You don't want violence. And I said, okay, who do we kill? Oh, click. Dead call. Click. Boop. Let's see if we got Alex Jones.
Our producer hung up on
him. If I thought violence was the answer, under the Declaration of Independence, we've been attacked with the poison shots, all of it. Yeah, we have a right in the law and common sense to defend ourselves. But you're going to choose the targets? You're going to launch in this big complex society this thing? The Pentagon will tell you, and they're right. They said 20 years ago, today it's even more. 90% of war is information. That's why I named it InfoWars.
Oh.
27 years ago when I started the website.
But makes sense.
Plus 30 plus years.
Wait, is that why?
So I'm doing the war here, okay? This is the war. We use the truth and integrity. It's the ace of spades. They use lies. They're little joker cards. Constantly. They got unlimited joker cards. They just shoot joker cards at us all day. It's like a Gatling gun of joker cards. Of just BS. But when you got the ace of spades, you go, the ace of spades. The ace of spades. The only god I need is the ace of spades.
You think Lemmy is a Trump guy?
My God. But I'm quoting a great song. But we should go out to break with ace of spades from the start. 2 minutes of ace of spades. With Lemmy. Okay,
hell yeah.
So the fusion of blues and hard rock. It's amazing. So
all right.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I got lost a little bit in there. I think Alex needs to maybe cool out a little bit about his bruised ego.
Could be a little bit.
If I were that caller and I was still listening, I would be laughing my ass off.
Oh, I mean, yeah, he's
bothered about this
like
the next day.
Yeah. He might as well be in the bathroom crying.
Yeah, I'm not mad. I'm a big boy.
I think Alex brings up such a great, weird point that is kind of the problem with everything that they all believe, right? Is that prophecy does need to happen.
Well, unless the prophecy is fulfilled by something not happening.
Right. But see, that's the problem. Like, the prophecy either happens or you don't have a Bible. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jesus has to die.
Mm.
He can't not die. You can't be like, hey, we saved him, and then still have the same Bible.
Well, maybe you could. I suggest to you that everyone has literally been right about everything.
Okay.
As long as the times that they're wrong are times that they stopped the right thing from happening. So everyone is 100% batting average if they allow themselves the loosest fucking standards, which Alex does for himself.
That is, I worry that is also a way of life that some therapist somewhere might be like, and now you're finally fully actualized. Mm. You know, you can see.
I think it's more in line with the people who are doomsday prophets who then are like, I got the math wrong.
Sure.
Or whatever.
Sure.
You know, I've been right about the end of the world every time except for the times that I've stopped it.
Right.
Sure.
Well, I mean, but that's got to be all the times.
Yeah, I'm
or
really
is the world ended?
I'm really good at it.
That would be such a weird. Oh man,
we know that that's what Alex thinks, though. I mean,
I know.
It's just weird to hear it said.
Yeah, it is weird. It is weird whenever somebody's like, "No, seriously, I understand when people say the TV is not listening to me."
But
that's because the TV's listening to me when I tell them to tell other people to tell them that the TV's not listening to them.
The TV told me to be cool about how no one believes I'm talking
to me. Yeah, absolutely. Jesus Christ. Okay, fine.
Also, if the Ace of Spades does not fucking matter if you're playing against somebody who has a machine gun full of jokers, because you're no longer playing a card game.
Sure.
Like, the Ace of Spades holds no use.
Well, and Spades is not the universal trump.
Mm-hmm.
So there are plenty of card games that have an alternating trump suit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can play Hearts.
Yeah, but
the Ace of Spades isn't going to do shit for you in Hearts.
Jokers are wild.
Well, fair enough.
So Alex plays a clip here of Tim Walz,
sure.
Which is supposedly supposed to prove his stolen
He's
valor.
Done. He's done.
Done. He's cooked.
He's done.
What's your background, and how did somebody from Nebraska end up in Minnesota?
Yeah, well, my wife's from Minnesota, so she took me there.
Complicated story.
The educational system in Minnesota was one that we kind of aspired to teach in, so I ended up in southern Minnesota. My wife's been there for many generations. So.
And your military background?
I spent 24 years in the National Guard, some of that full time. I was an artilleryman. I deployed in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. My battalion provided base security throughout the European theater from Turkey to England in the early stages of the war in Afghanistan. And that same battalion is now in Iraq at this time.
Next call, Lawton, Oklahoma, for Congressman Tim Walz. Good morning.
So this is supposed to be like the smoking gun, nail in the coffin, stolen valor shit. But that clip's just true. In 2003, Walz deployed for active duty in Italy, securing Air Force bases as part of the war in Afghanistan. He didn't say that he was, like, in the shit or that he saw combat in Afghanistan, just that he deployed to Europe to provide base security as part of the war. There's no gotcha in this clip.
No.
I'm listening to it, and I don't understand what Alex is using this for.
Yeah. And, I mean, I get... If we're in, like, sword fighty times, I get the idea of being like, oh, well, he wasn't deployed in the actual fighting theater. And it's like, man, we live in internet times. It doesn't matter where you're at. You are probably having a pretty significant impact on everything.
Well, if in that clip he said, like, I was... running and gunning on the streets of Kabul,
then we're in a different story.
Like,
you're
lying. You're not telling the truth.
He
accurately described his service.
Yeah, I was doing the thing.
So Alex playing this as like some sort of proof of like he's lying. It doesn't work.
Nope.
But that does not stop Alex from obsessing about this clip.
That helps.
It's insane.
But let's go back to the video of him on C-SPAN, because the crew pointed this out in my ear when we were playing it. And I thought that, too, when I saw it last night. There's the big tell when he talks about his unit was in combat, and that was his service. He gulps and kind of does the tell of, like if I said, you know, I beat Mike Tyson one time in arm wrestling. I beat Mike Tyson in arm wrestling contest. No, I didn't. Rip my arm off. So... again, I beat Mike Tyson. I beat Mike Tyson. He was 20 years old. It's prime. Go ahead and roll the video again. I mean, look at this face of a liar. Play it.
There for many generations.
And your military background?
I spent 24 years in the National Guard, some of that full time. I was an artilleryman. I deployed in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. My battalion provided there for many generations.
And your military background?
I spent 24 years in the National Guard, some of that full time. I was an artilleryman. I deployed in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. My battalion provided
play it again. This is
there for many generations.
And your military background?
I spent 24 years in the National Guard, some of that full time. I was an artilleryman. I deployed in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. My battalion provided
Now play it through without the with the play the clip through. Go ahead and play it. You gotta love our computers. We have like $70,000 computers, which are great, but you gotta pay $500,000 for one that doesn't do this. So it's a little, if I ever get plenty of money around here, we're gonna get the big fancy super badass systems that don't do this, but it's okay. It's ready now. Here it is. Play it.
Draft.
What's your background, and how did somebody from Nebraska end up in Minnesota?
Yeah, well, my wife's from Minnesota, so she took me there. Actually, it was based on the educational system in Minnesota was one that we kind of aspired to teach in, so I ended up in southern Minnesota. My wife's been there for many generations. So.
And your military background?
I spent 24 years in the National Guard, some of that full time. I was an artilleryman. I deployed in support of Operation Enduring Freedom. My battalion provided base security throughout the European theater from Turkey to England in the early stages of the war in Afghanistan. And that same battalion is now in Iraq at this time.
Next call, Lawton, Oklahoma, for Congressman Tim Walz.
Oh, my God.
Walz.
I mean, if they put him on the stage with J.D. Vance, who is an admitted decorated Marine combat veteran.
Look, I don't mean to impugn his service at all, but J.D. Vance also never saw combat. He was in the Marines for 4 years in public affairs. I feel like we have a bit of an underlying thing in our country where sacrifice for the public good is just something that we all give a nod to and respect. Whether or not, you know, I think you can have problems with the wars and all of that, but just as a way of being polite, we all just kind of say, huzzah. We can disagree that the wars or even military itself is in the public good, all of that. But it becomes tacky to shit on individuals who make a choice to enlist, because a lot of the time they do that in service of the country, in interest of serving their fellow citizens.
Sure. Right?
I mean, it's just kind of meh.
Sure.
I feel like it's kind of shitty. It's just, it feels like a dead end for Alex and all these folks attacking Walz like this. There's a reason that swift boating worked against John Kerry, and that's because he actively protested the Vietnam War after he returned, which many in the service saw as an affront. He testified before the Senate in 1971 about horrific war crimes that were being committed by U.S. soldiers. And because of this animosity that existed in his post-service career, there was a wedge that the GOP was able to exploit between veterans and Kerry.
Right.
Walz doesn't have this same dynamic, and trying to run that same script against him seems destined to backfire. Like, Alex is playing this clip and desperately trying to make it fit the frame that he set it up for, but it just kind of looks like shit. Just looks stupid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're never gonna win an election if you point out how many war crimes we commit. If in your past you were like, oh, America's committing all those war crimes and I'm gonna tell them, you're not gonna be president.
In 1971.
Yeah, I wouldn't try it.
But
I'm not gonna be president.
But you understand that kind of context is really what helped the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth and stuff have a little bit of traction. That's a really important part of the equation that's missing here. And these clips are uncompelling.
Yeah. I mean, I would say also that during the Swift Boat, it was a lot easier. Here's what I do. I will throw this out at you. It was 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody was still on the, like, we're probably not evil, right? Now it's 20 years later.
Mm-hmm.
You're evil.
Yeah.
The end. So it's like...
The Iraq war had not fully drained everybody.
People were still thinking we might be the good guy. We might bring stuff. You know, we might have order and there might be democracy and stuff. Like, hey, maybe there weren't. Maybe there were. But, you know, Hussein's gone. Let's do the whole thing, you know? Now we're the bad guys. We're just evil.
The internet wasn't what it was then,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
so,
yeah,
like, a lot of memes and sort of PR campaigns had a little bit of a different vibe to them than they do now.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a little bit of a freshness to this kind of a smear in 2004, whereas
if the
now
monoculture,
it's,
yeah.
This isn't going to stick.
It's just not.
So Alex has a guest on the show, and it is a very important guest.
Sure.
This person is a theologian.
Oh, God.
But he's also Alex's gold sponsor.
Hooray!
Tommy Robbins joining us with huge, big developments. Where they're openly saying they're going to arrest anybody that shows the Muslims rioting and engaging in crime. There is no law that says that. They are just desperate. This is wild. And so much more today. But I wanted to get Dr. Kirk Elliott, who's an amazing economist, degreed economist, and degreed theologian. I've known who he is for 25 years, and I don't know what was wrong with me not having a gold or silver sponsor for 12 years because I couldn't find one that wouldn't give people a good deal.
Didn't give me a good deal. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Come on. My gold sponsor / theologian is on.
When I was choosing gold sponsors, you know, I was thinking about the deal they were giving my customers. Definitely not the deal they were giving to me specifically.
The precedent that was set by the great deals that Ted Anderson got his license revoked for offering customers.
Yeah.
You know, it really set the bar high. Go fuck yourself. So anyway, Kirk is on.
Right.
And he's here to sell gold, obviously.
Of course.
But I felt like while I was listening to him, there was a drop in confidence.
Okay.
Sure. So let's talk about this. Let's go back to that graph then that you were saying two times in the past has happened. Gold exploded. Explain that to me.
So there's this technical level, right? It's the STOCHRSI. Basically, I don't know what that acronym stands for, but it's what technical traders look at. Well, it has to do with not just supply and demand, but how much people are purchasing, what's available, all this stuff, right? So once it hits that level in the past, once it's hit that level, gold bumped up 450% after that. The time before, it bumped up 1,800% after that. And you know what, Alex? We're at that level. So we can't ever make guarantees, right? We're not God. We don't control the markets. But these technical patterns tend to repeat themselves. And this is where...
Well, they don't tend to repeat. I mean, it history repeats and rhymes. It happens a little different, but it matches basically the tempo.
It does.
So if I were listening to this gold guy and he rattled off this acronym and then just said, I don't know what it stands
for. That's a problem.
I might have doubts that start to creep in.
It's a real problem.
I don't know if he knows what's up.
That's a problem.
So this actually isn't an acronym. It's an abbreviation for stochastic RSI, with RSI standing for relative strength index. This is an equation the traders use to try and find signals that a particular thing is over or underbought, thereby finding opportunities to make long or short buys on these things. It's not a magic indicator, and it's notoriously volatile, which is why people tend not to rely on it as a single indicator and use it solely for their guidance.
Right.
He's just trying to throw out, like, deep-sounding financial things.
Yeah.
But also having to admit I don't know what this thing is
or
what it stands for.
The more you spend time listening to, like, a totality of these people talk about the stock market, the more you're like, you guys are throwing bones in a turtle shell. Mm. That's what you're doing. You're just throwing bones, and you're lying to me about it. You're like, oh, these three bones look like this. Now, fuck you. But fuck you with your RSI bullshit.
Using a lot of words.
Throwing bones. You're throwing bones in a turtle shell. Shut up.
Now, I don't know what these bones stand for.
I'll tell you. RSI. Stochastic.
So you're dumb as shit.
That's true.
If you don't buy you don't buy gold from Kirk, you're dumb. You're fucking dumb.
Okay.
You get the best deals. It supports the show. KEPM.com/gold. Tom Allen Show sent you 720-605-3900. They make 8%. You can sell it back for nothing. And that goes into their marketing, their crew, everybody, their sponsorship, everything. They made the decision 25 years ago to have very small margins, but to have the biggest audience, and they've done it. The place to go is under Kirk Elliott at KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. That's 720-605-3900. Better Kirk Elliott, thank you so much. God bless you. We'll talk to you soon.
God bless. See you, Alex.
Call him right now, folks, or you're stupid.
You're stupid. That's harsh.
Man.
It's real. That's a real mean thing for Alex to say as a sales pitch. So Kirk Elliott's alleged model is that you pay him an extra 8% on top of what you buy, and then when you want to resell your gold, there's no additional fee.
Uh-huh.
That's fine in theory,
right?
But I'm being very generous when I pretend to believe that there aren't other hidden fees in the background somewhere.
Very generous.
Even assuming that this is all straight up and these are the only expenses, you still need to see an 8% increase in the price of gold to break even with what you bought from Kirk. Right now, as I was prepping this episode, gold was at $2,431 per ounce. In order to get your money back from Kirk, you need to resell it to him when it's at $2,625 per ounce. That's a fine gamble if you want to make it, but gold has never hit that value. On Wednesday, the price of gold took a dip, and it hit $2,384 an ounce. If you bought an ounce from Kirk on that dip, then you would have to paid him $2,578 for it. Even if you sell that back to him now, after the bounce has already recovered,
right,
you're down $143.
Right.
If you get really lucky and you time it right and he doesn't have a bunch of hidden fees, then you can theoretically fleece this guy pretty good. But most of the time, he's going to come out ahead with that 8%. And that's the game.
Yeah.
That's... You're almost never going to end up ahead at this.
Yeah, I mean, I find the thing that I think I find most fascinating is that, like, phone numbers only exist for scams and medical bills. Is that what I understand in 2024? When was the last time you had an actual phone call that wasn't about a scam or some sort of bill?
My parents, maybe?
Right. But even then, that's because they're the only people who get scammed and pay bills.
Mm. Texts go to phone numbers.
Yeah, that's true.
But you don't need it.
Right. It's the phone number thing. That's mm-hmm. Like, if somebody gives me their phone number, like, this is a scam. You're scamming me. Because if you need to be able to talk to me, then that means you need some sort of social engineering aspect to sell me on something.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And this is sold on the way of, like, no, we want to talk to you and get to know you.
Your
needs are the gold can
fill.
There
are no needs that I need to give you 8% VIG for.
Look. There's no price. There's no extra money when you sell it back.
You can't put a price on peace of mind is what the real thing is.
This is insurance you can eat.
Yep.
So Tommy Robinson is back on.
Sure.
He ends up getting a call in the middle of the interview and has to leave. But before he does, he whines a bunch.
Yeah.
One man just got sentenced today, an Englishman. He's near enough a pensioner, 59 years old, He just got 26 months in jail for shouting aggressively at police. I kid you not. Shouting. 26 months for shouting at police. And ask the question again. Where was the equivalent for the Romanians and Muslims that rioted? Where are the equivalent raids like this? How come we've not seen all their pictures in the news?
So there are actually two people who were arrested and sentenced to 26 months in the incident that Tommy is talking about. Stephen Malin and Ryan Shears were both wasted on the street when they decided to join a mob that was targeting migrant homes. They were both yelling at the cops, and there was a standoff, and then a police bit Shears, pulling down his pants. Malin then tried to attack the dog, which led the officers trying to detain him, at which point he started kicking the officers. There were at least three other people arrested as part of this violence that broke out in Hartlepool, including two people for throwing shit at the police and an 18-year-old dude who was busting out windows. He told the police, quote, "It's okay, everyone else is doing it." Tommy is lying about the circumstances of this arrest because his goal is to portray the situation as one where the government is out to get the poor, victimized white people while giving a pass to the Muslims who are gleefully running amok and killing white people all over the place. By creating this image, Tommy is trying to create justification for mob violence, like what happened in Hartlepool, to break out, where people, particularly white people, feel like the only thing they can do to fight for their survival is to terrorize migrants. Tommy's job is to make these people feel like they're not just acting out their violent racist impulses, or at a minimum, that those violent racist impulses are justified. That's why that crowd in Hartlepool was, quote, "shouting racial slurs and the word Tommy while they threw bottles and planks at the cops," according to the BBC. As he explained himself, Tommy's job is to throw petrol on the fire, to stoke the embers of racism in this audience, then portray anyone who acts on those impulses as a victim in order to continue throwing petrol on the fire. That's what he's doing. That's then Alex is gleefully and very consciously helping.
It's all working to plan.
Yep.
Yep.
More or less. And Tommy's still on
vacation. Yeah, I mean, it's going great for him. If I was him, I would honestly be stoked at everything that's going on right now.
Yeah.
He is crushing it.
Yeah, if he has his monetization in place, then he's probably killing it.
Listen, hey, at the end of the day, good business is good business. This is America.
So they complain a little bit more because that's the game.
Yeah.
What we saw yesterday, Alex, was a Labour, our government, Keir Starmer, two-tier Keir, one of his councillors stood on the streets and said, "We need to slit all of the far right's throat."
And by the way, we're going to pull that clip up. His name is Jones. I'm actually saying my name now. His name is Jones, a city council member, saying kill and murder and slit the throats. And they're just randomly running into pubs and beating up white people. We have the videos.
And they're all cheering. They're all cheering as he's doing it. And this is the Labour government. We actually, what people need to understand is we live under communism. People just don't realise it yet. We're already there. We're not heading towards communism. We're there already. We've got people getting 26 months for shouting at the police. We've got a total two-tier judiciary, two-tier policing system. I'll let you play his voice. But he calls for the murder. He calls for the murder of people.
Since you mention it, let's play the clip with audio. Here it is.
Yeah, play.
We've got children and women using those trains destroying the summer Olympics. They are disgusting, nasty factors. And we need to cut their throats and get rid of them all. I just want to say thank you all. I'm going to leave it now.
And
So, Tommy, if you said go slit brown people's throats, who you're not even against, you would be thrown in prison for life. Here's a member of a major city council saying go out and kill the English Defense League that hasn't existed in 10 years and was multiracial. They're literally running around. I have hundreds. I can't even watch them all. I have like a dozens on my list here of them beating. They'll just find a white person and beat their brains out.
Oh, wow. So they're saying that this guy, Ricky Jones, should be arrested for saying that far-right Nazi fascists should have their throats slit. He was almost immediately suspended from his position as counselor. Reps from the Labour Party denounced his actions, and then he was arrested. This dude was arrested. Yeah. Exactly what they wanted to happen happened.
Yeah.
I think that what happened makes a lot of sense. The UK doesn't have the same free speech laws as we do, and his comments were pretty out of line. So I don't think it's that big of a deal that he ended up getting arrested. I'm not sure how Alex and Tommy, as free speech absolutists, justify that, though. I get that they would want to see this guy not being arrested and then use that as some kind of proof that there's a two-tier justice system where he can get away with this, but Tommy keeps getting in trouble for his clear incitement. That's just playing a good aggrievement game. I get in trouble for this, but he doesn't because the world hates white people. The problem is that the dude was arrested, which entirely deflates this talking point. Tommy's just a whiny fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's on vacation. I hope he's having a great time.
Yeah. Yeah. It reminds me of this is a weird story, and I'm not going to put his business out too much. But my older brother, he's got a kid, right? And he's just now finding out about new math. People talking about new math. And I'm just now finding out because I don't have kids and I never really paid attention to any math. So he's going off on blah, 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 right? Now, my little sister, she's got a husband, math teacher. So they're talking, right? And eventually it gets to this point where it realized my older brother does not know what new math really is, right? So the math teacher starts explaining it. That's how my older brother has been doing math before.
It's so just been rebranded as new math.
Exactly. He had been doing this because it made more sense for him to do it at the beginning than the way they were teaching it.
Uh-huh.
And so now the system is actually teaching it more like what he thought that it should be taught. Mm-hmm. And so this whole like mess of thoughts inside of his head was coming about. And then it all hit. And then he was like, oh, well, then it's not a problem. Like,
right.
That, it
the problem
like,
is what you're projecting onto it.
Exactly. If this is what you want, then being arrested, then you have to be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Next.
But you don't want that.
Exactly. You want
this person not getting arrested to be the double standard that like, so I should be fine.
Right. If my older brother then immediately went, well, they should teach the old way so I can bitch about it.
Right.
You know, then you're like, well, then everybody's wasting their time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's what Tommy's doing.
Exactly.
Except with hate.
Instead of math. But if it was just like, it was so great to see too, because my older brother was just like, really? Well, that's good news. Like, it was nuts.
They figured out a better way to do this.
Yeah, it was awesome.
No, it's nice. So something that's not awesome is Laura Logan. She is on. We talked about her a little bit in the past. She used to be a real reporter, and now it's not.
Uh-oh.
So she hosts the show on Friday, and Alex has her on this episode. And she seems a little bit dumb about what's going on in the UK and stuff.
Sure.
You want to start with what's happening in the UK? Because I know you've been following that in depth.
Well, what's incredible to me, the one thing I've been posting, trying to get people to understand, is when you're having the same conversation in the United Kingdom and the exact same issues happening, that tells you that the policy behind it is exactly the same, right? The people behind it are exactly the same. And to see people being arrested because of what they've posting on social media, it's so blatant what's happening in the UK. I mean, you know, in the old days, you might have looked at somebody like Tommy Robinson and thought, okay, well, do I want to post this person because I don't want to be accused of being far right? And now you see, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. They are literally attacking and arresting the people who are standing up, who are saying, hey, we have a problem in this country. You know, young girls in a dance class were murdered, hacked to death. And the media is being dishonest about how they're reporting this. Our leaders are being dishonest. I mean, people have had it, Alex. You know this.
And they're blaming the journalist, Tommy.
Tommy, no, don't blame Tommy.
Blaming the journalist, Tommy.
Yeah. So when you see the same types of narratives being spread in countries with wildly different situations and political realities, maybe it's not a sign that a single shadowy group runs the world, but that xenophobic race-baiting propaganda is an effective tool, not just in the United States. No one, including the media, is trying to say that the children killed in that dance class is no big deal, or that it doesn't represent a problem that society needs to address. The problem is that Tommy Robinson and his ilk immediately started using the story as a means of attacking immigrants because that's what they do. This tragic incident isn't being handled realistically by these folks. They're just trying to redirect the public's understandable outrage about it and use it to incite anger towards migrants. And that's what people have a problem with.
Yep.
If anyone is using this event maliciously, it's people like Tommy and Laura. It's very clear now that the perpetrator was born in Wales and lived in the UK his whole life, and they know that. They continue on this false path that they're on because the fictional story of this young migrant killing white children, it's too powerful of an image of that for them to resist using to their advantage, because they're also lazy. when people in the UK are getting arrested for posting stuff on social media, like Laura's talking about, it's generally direct incitement towards racially motivated violence, like calls to burn down migrant housing, or very clear-cut misinformation about that dance class murderer that's being used to incite violence towards migrants.
Mm-hmm.
Like people misidentifying him, which is illegal.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Yep.
These people like Alex and Laura know what they're doing. They're running cover for folks like Tommy because they want to help him pour petrol on the fire.
Mm-hmm.
They know what they're doing. This is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was bored with Laura.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yep.
She does not intrigue me much.
Nothing to say, really.
And then she said something in this clip.
Interesting.
That I wanted to know more about.
Okay.
But if you want to know why the southern border is open, well, look at the Open Society Foundation. That's why, because we have open border ideologues inside the administration. And not only that, at the United Nations,
I'm an open border ideologue.
They had a global compact on migration. They made migration a human right. And so what they said is it can't be illegal if you're exercising your human right. And so that is why the Biden administration, as soon as they took office, said no one's allowed to use the word illegal anymore when it comes to immigration.
And then we all do it and say migrant. Exactly. So
because you are looking at the globalist policy on migration that has been implemented in your country. You didn't get a chance to vote on it. They bypassed the legislature. They bypassed Congress. I mean, they bypass the people.
And they bring in groups they control.
Well, you know, let's see how they control them, because the groups that they're bringing in, I mean, I'll tell you, Alex, about some of the things that
I was about to say. That's the, you know, about Islamists, you've been all over the world, famously attacked by them, without getting into detail. I mean, they're really made a mistake here.
Well, I don't know what you mean by made a mistake precisely.
Well, you're saying the globalists think they can control these Islamic hordes.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was reading into what you're saying, that you think they're going to bite them in the ass.
Well, the Arabs have a saying, actually, that when you let a snake into your garden, eventually it makes its way into your house. And we've seen that happen all over the world, right? And what you know what's interesting, though, Alex, is I know a gentleman who infiltrated the global cult. And the part of the global cult, he did this on behalf of the United States government. He spent years in training underground. But he was assigned to the Islamic faction. So I think one of the things that I always try to remember here when I think about him and the work that he did is that this is a global cult.
Islam's only one arm.
But there is an Islamist faction.
So you know who that is?
No.
Frank Dukes.
You're joking.
Yes, I am joking.
Oh, okay.
Of course I'm joking.
No, but here's the problem. I could totally believe he rebranded later on as the guy who is like, yeah, I infiltrated the Islamic State. Of course I did. I'm Frank fucking Dukes. Crazy enough.
Kumite to global cult.
But that's the type of thing he would do.
I was sent to the Muslim wing.
Because it's not like he was a pillar of the Kumite was real before.
No, I mean, this is just it's just a kind of Bloodsport-esque story that she's telling.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a lot of fun, but
100%.
Come on, go fuck yourself.
God, it would be great if it was Frank Dukes.
So this story is something that Laura has been claiming since 2022, and it's a remnant of her QAnon roots.
Sure.
She went on Eric Bolling's show on Newsmax and claimed to know this person who had infiltrated the cabal and was totally legit.
Totally.
Just as a quick refresher on her career, Laura used to be a normal journalist but got in trouble for reporting a story based on bad sources around Benghazi in 2013. She was employed by CBS at the time and wasn't fired, but was kind of moved to the back bench, probably because her work wasn't good. Then she went to work for Fox News, who fired her after she compared Fauci to Joseph Mengele, which pretty much closed the door for her being hired by any actual company, but made her a darling of the right-wing media that likes to just talk shit like Alex, so she's kind of a hero for them.
Right.
In her interview with Eric Bolling, where she revealed this totally not fake global cult whistleblower, she also said that the UN was bringing in immigrants to, quote, dilute the pool of patriots, and that folks like Yuval Noah Harari and the WEF want us to eat the bugs while they, quote, dine on the blood of children. None of this was well received, and she was promptly banned from being interviewed on fucking Newsmax, who told the Daily Beast, quote, Newsmax condemns in the strongest terms the reprehensible statements made by Laura Logan. We have no plans to interview her again. Incidentally, Laura has never proved any of this shit about some idiot who infiltrated the global cabal that runs the world, and she mysteriously has the same gold sponsor/theologian as Alex.
That is weird.
That is weird.
That is really coincidental.
That's very strange.
I mean, you know, one is a coincidence. we need two more examples of far-right figures with a similar gold salesman to have a sort of pattern. To say.
I think that you find maybe his name pops up in some weird QAnon places that, that are a little bit off the beaten path of our radar.
I am amazed. Because I do believe she has accomplished something that is, while not admirable, it is unique and requires something that I don't think the rest of us have, which is she has been banned from the three worst places that I can think of and still is not interesting.
Mm-hmm.
She managed to be boring and banned from these places.
Well, it is
amazing.
It is pretty remarkable that you have sort of the small, medium, large CBS,
yeah.
Fox News,
like
Newsmax.
It. Absolutely.
And it's all like, nope, you can't cut it here.
No Goldilocks. No Goldilocks here. Nuh-uh. You are not invited around these bears.
No.
They will fucking murder you.
But you can still come on InfoWars.
Yep.
That's fine. There's no standards here.
The desiccated husk of the fourth unholy bear, forced to stay in the basement with no porridge at all.
It's the bear that's in the basement riding a unicycle drunk. Clanking cymbals together. Oh, God. So rarely in life do you get to see someone literally embody a fallacy.
That is rare.
But in this next clip, Laura Logan actually embodies.
Just is it. Yeah. Like in an encyclopedic definition way.
Yep.
We have a serious problem in this country where the picture that I've been investigating for the last couple of years, Alex, started with the question, are the cartels really the army of the deep state and the globalists? Is that what you're looking at? Because at the end of the day, although the United States military has been decimated with this ideology, I don't believe that most Americans who will put on a uniform in the service of this country will ever go to war against their own country.
And that's why Pelosi called MS-13 God's children.
And that's why you need to have the cartels as your real army.
She is literally begging the question. Laura is pretending to be investigating the question of if the cartels are the military for the globalists. And one of her premises that she uses to reach that conclusion is that the cartels are the military for the globalists. This premise is unproven. It's just asserted. And much of this entire facade relies on you just accepting it because she said it. This is not what a sincere investigator would do in this situation. You wouldn't set out to answer the question, are the cartels the military for the globalists? Because how would you ever satisfactorily prove they're not? It's pretty easy to imagine a situation where you've proved that they are. Like, I don't know, you find invoices between the globalists and the cartels that say something like, services rendered, being our military. But there's no situation Laura's going to find herself in where she assesses the information available to her and says, well, I guess I was wrong. The cartels aren't the globalist military. This is just a bullshit act. It's super easy to see through. And I don't know.
Okay. I'll say this. There's really nothing you can do in this day and age with a creative writing degree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's out the window. Even if you're a published author, I know published authors now, and I know that there isn't even any money in publishing. So there's no point in doing any of that, right? Because she has done what is a great fiction writing tool. What if, here's a question, what if blank and blank, now I've got a prompt, now I write how this could happen, and now I've got a story.
Yeah, but
that's
called reporting.
That's not reporting.
No, it's called being a journalist.
No, that is what you get a creative writing degree for.
It's creative nonfiction. Fiction.
I don't believe in that.
I can't hang. I can't handle it.
No, it's absolute trash.
It's infuriating. And so her big story that she has to break is that there were 70,000 terrorists that graduated from terrorist school. And they're all here now.
Sometimes it really does feel like if you had a brigade of people with like straws and like wet stuff and just spit it at her whenever she said stuff like that, it'd be fine. She'd be like, I'm sorry, you're right. I'm covered in spitballs right now. I clearly fucked up.
This is your bullying coming out.
Clearly everybody's fine with it now. Everybody feels like it works.
I'm more interested in, I listen to her and my mind just, I see a podium,
okay,
on a stage,
all right,
and terrorists are coming over and getting a diploma,
right,
from graduating terrorist school.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Give him a, yeah, get it. You get a diploma.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's booby trapped.
Yeah.
Or something.
Oh,
I don't
that'd
know.
Be fun. No, you can't do that. Yeah. That's not good terrorism school.
No, it's a hat on a hat.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's my criticism of terrorism school. Yeah. Hat on a hat.
Yeah. So I don't care about her breaking story based sure. on some, I don't know, dumb nonsense.
Right.
But we have one more clip because okay. I found this moment to be delightful.
Okay.
If they would have killed him, it would have been worse for them, actually. I'm talking glad
Trump.
They didn't kill
right.
him, but the war game that.
You are not glad.
They're not even thinking second, third order. They're thinking immediacy. I think they're going to try again, Laura Logan. What do you think?
Well, I mean, the Secret Service has said they think they're going to try again, right? I mean, a lot of very informed people are saying they're going to try again. It certainly makes sense. I mean, they are terrified of Trump. They're absolutely terrified of him. And he's not afraid of them anymore. Because
and I know him well. You know him well. It's because he's real. He makes mistakes, but he is the guy. With Donald Trump, nobody's telling him what to do.
You know, I've never met Trump.
You never met him?
I've never met him.
I saw photos of Mar-a-Lago. Maybe they were fake or whatever.
I know. I've been to Mar-a-Lago, but I never met Trump.
No, Trump is behind the scenes like hanging out with a hillbilly or something. He's completely straight up. It's like yeah. you feel totally comfortable. He's real.
He's real, man. I just like the moment of, you know, I'm good friends with him. You're good friends with him. I never met the guy. Oh. Look, let me tell you, he's cool. He's like hanging out with the hillbilly.
It is, you know, it is always fascinating whenever, like, the basic precept of yes and seems like the only one you should really have in this world. And it's like, uncommon.
Mm-hmm. It's strange that she doesn't just roll along with Alex's very clear
everything,
fake reality. That
everything, yeah. just yes and it. Who cares?
Yeah.
If you haven't blanked, you don't have an infiltrator in the Islamic cabal.
No, it's a global cabal. Then just in the Islamic division.
I was third place in the 70 kg Islamic division. Mm-hmm. I was pretty good at weightlifting for a while.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of value to just get going along with it.
Yeah.
Just roll with this.
Fuck yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah.
The end.
But there's also something really fascinating about not. Because there isn't a real, like, there's no gain by correcting Alex.
Nope.
There's
it's
no
self-image.
Loss either.
It's the self-image of the person. The self-image of the person says, I have to say I have or have not met this person.
I disagree.
Okay.
I think it's more rooted in... I think she might have some illusion that Alex isn't full of shit. Like,
okay. Okay, so you think it's her image of Alex that is keeping her honest?
I think that she might think that Alex actually is close with Trump and that he's got information wrong about her. And so she doesn't realize that he's making all of it up.
Interesting.
And we're all just bullshitting here.
That is fast. I had not considered that. It had never really occurred to me that she would not be 100% aware of what was going on.
Well, she very clearly it plays fast and loose with the truth.
Obviously.
So, like, I can't imagine her being a stickler for...
No, I mean, at a certain point, she has to believe that she is an honest person somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great.
And I think that it's much more likely, in my mind, that it's based on, like, this image that she has of Alex. Which
right,
is
right. So because
deluded.
if it was like a lib, she would have no compulsion. She would have no compunction lying to them. Mm-hmm. Fuck the libs or whatever.
Maybe.
Hmm.
Maybe.
Interesting.
Or I don't know. Who cares?
I mean, sometimes it is like that is the type of thing that I'm truly. That's the only thing left to really be fascinated by now. Mm-hmm. In a certain way,
that
is
little
like,
flicker.
Why did you do that? Mm-hmm. Everything else makes sense to me. Everything else makes sense to me in the game. Everything else to me makes sense to me in money. Everything else makes sense to me in power and like in just the way you get to feel whenever you get to say bullshit and have people go, "You're not stupid."
I've proved that the cartels are the globalists' army because
great.
The cartels are the globalist army.
Cool.
I understand what you're doing here.
Totally.
Why do you have to be
just say
precise
you met him.
About
just say you met
never
him.
Meeting Trump?
He's a nice guy. You can say you've met people that you haven't met all the time and just be like, they're nice. Because it shortens the conversation that you don't want to have.
Mm. Maybe it's a situation where she thinks that Alex actually is close to Trump and
right.
is going to talk to Trump and be like, hey, I talked to Laura Logan,
and
your best
Trump
friend.
Is, and Trump's going to be like, I've never met that person.
Exactly. And
oh
that would be socially uncomfortable.
Oh, my God.
Maybe that's it.
It could be. You know what? Honestly, I think that would probably... That's my
it's
like highest probability at this point in time. the idea of being caught out by an authority figure makes the most sense.
Yeah, I don't want this to get back to Trump. And I'll look tacky, like I was trying to play cool for Alex.
Yeah, it does make sense because deep down beneath all of this, they are just afraid of their dad getting angry with them.
Or high school dynamics.
Yeah, it's high school bullshit. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Anyway.
Oh, my God.
Laura hosted the show on Friday.
Did she do a good job?
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
What's a good job even look like? How do you even... I don't even know.
I was going to say you don't leave, but Alex leaves fairly regularly, you can just bail.
And it's like, how could you guest host a show and not be like, this whole place should be gone by now?
Yeah. Seeing all the duct tape holding everything together.
Yes.
His $70,000 computer system that doesn't work.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
None of this should be here.
Nope. And we'll see if it is later.
We'll see.
Because we'll be back for another episode. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgeright.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the mysterious professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.